Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, promoting God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property, using the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. This is the broadcast for May 15th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is Hour 2 of 2. Lowell, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Wow, great to be here, Sam. Thank you for having me.
You want a quick celebratory news headline before we kick off the topics for today?
Absolutely.
All right. Tens of thousands of students across the great land of Scotland are ignoring a mandated government sex survey. A report from the Christian Institute revealed that the students are simply refusing to complete the government mandated sex survey on their sex lives. They just flat out refused. Bob Unruh, WND.com, with the piece. And wow, we need to take a page out of the Scotland playbook, don't we?
Boy, I'll say, that sounds great. I'm glad to hear that.
They just simply said, we're not taking it. You guys can mandate it all you want, but I'm not filling it out. It's that simple. Tens of thousands of them, sir. See, this is the key in America, why the conservatives are so frustrated that we never make any headway. We don't have enough of us. You know, one needs to become two, then the few, then the many. The power of one is incredible. But our greater numbers are the key to the exercise. And when there's not enough of us, you know, if you have a county of 10,000 people and 50 people cry out about something, it's not going to make much headway. But we've got to have greater numbers. That's why this huge educational campaign on Liberty Roundtable Live has been continuing for more than 25 years, because we have got to be engaged in the battle for freedom and liberty and turning to God Almighty, Lowell.
You're absolutely right, Sam. And it does take numbers. One of the stories that we'll hit today talks about the Real ID Act that was supposed to be implemented by May 11th of 2008, still hasn't been implemented. Why? Because states have refused to comply. And
the people have been standing up saying, uh-uh. And that's what we need more and more of. By the way, that's the reason I wanted to highlight this so much, is because campaignforliberty.org is making a tremendous difference here, folks. We really need to understand that. Campaign for Liberty has a clear mission, and they have got more people involved than you can imagine in the solutions state by state. Contact your campaignforliberty.org state director. But the mission of Campaign for Liberty is to promote and defend the great American principles of individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and a constitutional foreign policy by means of education, issue advocacy, and grassroots mobilization. What a tremendous mission, Lowell.
Well, Ron Paul was the instigator of this campaign. It began back in 2008, following the Rally for the Republic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So yes, if Ron Paul's involved, you know it's going to be good. And so I have just been more than delighted to be a part of this organization since then, and hope that our listeners will recognize the value in the organization and will get involved. There is much to be done. I mean, there is so much that the individuals can do to promote and help the Campaign for Liberty succeed. It is a campaign for liberty. That is what we're after. And but specifically, it's the 5 points that Sam just mentioned. You know, individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and non-interventionist foreign policy. If we could actually implement this, ladies and gentlemen, we would find ourselves in a free and prosperous country today.
Amen to that. In fact, speaking of the latest point or the last point that you made about a humble foreign policy, one of our favorite columnists, Jacob G. Hornberger, on RonPaulInstitute.com, makes this point oh so well.
He does, Sam. At RonPaulInstitute.org is a column posted just last Friday at RonPaulInstitute.org. And Jacob G. Hornberger, I guess I have a lot of favorite columnists, but he's another one of my favorites. He reminded us that the conscription, meaning the draft, is merely involuntary servitude. It's basically slavery, is what he's saying here. He makes the observation that both Russia and Ukraine conscript their people to fight in that conflict. Quote, one would think that if a war is just, citizens would not have to be forced to fight in it, end of quote. And see, this is so common sense, Sam. If we were truly attacked, if we needed to defend ourselves, our country, our homes, our land, our liberty, we wouldn't need conscription because everyone would, you know, all of the most of the male members of society would join up. I mean, it's only natural. That's what men do. They protect their wives and their children and their land and their property. That's what men do. Real men do that. And you don't need to force them into the military service. You don't need to force them into protecting what they love. They just naturally do it. And so this is a real barometer, Sam, of whether a cause is just or not, right? I mean, if the U.S. regime goes in search of monsters to destroy, trying to promote, undermine regimes out there in the world and promote democracy around the globe and all of this military adventurism, then you know that if the cause is not just and people don't join up because they know they're not going to be out there defending what they love. But if you have conscription, then the state can command a citizen to report to a military facility where he is forced to become an employee of the state at a wage set by the state. And even worse, his forced labor consists of killing people. So writes Jacob G. Hornberger in this column. And I want to add one other thing, Sam, that we need to make here. You know, Russia and Ukraine do conscript their people. Well, if you doubt that, I'm here to tell you that one of our developers just this past year, he was, you know, and I work in a private company, but we outsource some of our programming to Ukraine because they're incredibly competent individuals. They're wonderful people. And he was called, he was drafted, and he was called away to serve in the military. And this is about a year ago that he got drafted. And it took him away from our development team. And he is now just in the trenches. They're fighting against Russia. He doesn't want to. Probably be out there. He'd rather be home with his family. But this is what happens when you allow the government to order a draft and to conscript their citizens. Folks, it's just pure evil. I mean, we would defend our those that we love if their safety was truly in jeopardy. But you know, here in America, that's not the case, right? We don't have people banging down our doors, trying to take our property right here at home. And so it just makes no sense. I just wanted to throw that in there, Sam. Real life example, how disruptive conscription can be and has been on our development team.
Well, let's be very clear. We pretend it doesn't happen in America, lol. But I submit to you that they've learned to soft pedal forced ideologies to where we don't recognize them as such.
Well, and I think you're right there, because they've been successful in luring enough young men and women into the military that they haven't had to reinstate the draft. They still have the registration with the Selective Service. That's still a requirement when you turn 18, but they haven't had to switch that conscription on.
Yeah, they haven't switched it on because they've been so lucky in promoting themselves as, you know, hey, you can serve in the Army and get a free education, or you can do this, you can be a Marine, you can. Mm-hmm. And they managed to appeal to the population enough to get enough people so far. But look, that forcing everybody to sign up at age 18, though, is the force I'm talking about. If they don't do that, they don't know who's who. They don't know who's of age. They're not keeping track of that. In this case, they are. And so if they ever decide to flip that switch on, they've got the database where you've, by force, opted in already, Lowell.
You know, Sam,
that's what I mean by soft pedaling this, right? They make you believe it's not a forced thing. Oh, you just got to sign up, but it means nothing because they're not going to call upon you. But you've been forced to sign up. It's a law, right?
That's right. I thought about serving in the military when I was growing up, you know, and I have two brothers who served, one in the Air Force, one in the Navy. So naturally I was inclined to go that direction. I never actually made the decision to go that direction ultimately, but you know, I don't blame anyone for choosing to serve in the military, but in my case, I did not want to get all the shots, the vaccinations that servicemen were required to receive. Nor did I want to relinquish my agency, my freedom, to another human being, which is what happens when you join the military, right? You basically give up your liberty for 2-4 years, however long you serve. And I didn't want to do that. So I chose not to serve in the military, but that doesn't mean I look down my nose at those who do. You know, I think it's noble, it's honorable, but but it's still the case that the Selective Service Registration is required, and therefore we are in some sort of servitude right here in America, Sam.
Sad but true, and in fact, with the IRS, we're all in involuntary servitude, that's for sure. Hang tight. Ron Paul speaks out boldly, nobly, independently in seconds on your radio.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for spending some time with us right here. My name is Lowell Nelson, guest this morning to your host, Sam Bushman, here on Liberty Roundtable. NATO's great new idea, folks. NATO comes along. They think it's time to start a war with China. We'll talk about why. That's what Ron Paul did in his column last week. He featured NATO, and that column is posted at ronpaulinstitute.org. Ron is ever so informative. He takes a little bit of history at first, reminding us that NATO should have been disbanded when the Cold War ended, folks. You know, and when I was a kid, I looked at NATO and thought, well, that's probably a good thing to have, you know, to keep the peace among countries. But see, NATO is really just another government that seeks to justify itself and to expand its size and its reach. That's what NATO does. You know, it needs a little conflict out there going on so it can justify its own existence. Just like lawyers, you know, they stir up trouble to justify their existence. And the military-industrial complex, they stir up trouble so that they can sell munitions to various countries, right? I mean, so we have these conflicting ideologies going on. And NATO is part of that ideology, which benefits from a little bit of conflict, a little bit of friction in the world. Well, NATO should have been disbanded years ago. We're talking decades ago, but it wasn't, and the U.S. regime continues to support it. In the latter part of the 1990s, NATO decided to, quote, become the muscle behind the militarization of human rights under the Clinton administration. End of quote. This is Ron Paul writing in his column. And because the threat of global communism was supposedly gone, NATO reimagined itself as a superhero to right any wrong, to rectify any injustice anywhere in the world. Well, the military-industrial complex, of course, was delighted. They probably pushed NATO to do what they did. Dr. Paul puts it this way, quote, the U.S. military-industrial complex could not have been happier. All the Beltway think tanks they lavishly fund finally hit on a sure winner to keep the money pipeline flowing. It was always about money, not security. End of quote. The very first test for this new superhero NATO was Yugoslavia in 1999. Now, to most observers, this was a horrific, unjustified disaster. Quote, 78 days of bombing a country that did not threaten NATO left many hundreds of civilians dead, the infrastructure destroyed, and a legacy of uranium-tipped ammunition to poison the landscape for generations to come. End of quote. And then Dr. Paul said that tennis champion Djokovic just last week described what it felt like to flee his grandfather's home in the middle of the night as NATO bombs fell and destroyed the home. I mean, this is where it gets really real, folks, when you have real-life implications of what NATO did then and what it does today, right? They are behind much of the destruction that's going on in many of the countries around the world today. Well, returning again to our history a little bit, Dr. Paul talks about he finished about Yugoslavia, and he talked about Libya and the overthrow of Gaddafi. He writes this, quote, the corporate press regurgitated the neocon lies that bombing the country, killing its people, and overthrowing its government would solve all of Libya's human rights problems. End of quote. Well, Sam, as you might imagine, dropping bombs did not solve the problems. It made things worse. And quoting Dr. Paul again, quote, chaos, civil war, terrorism, slave markets, crushing poverty. No wonder Hillary Clinton, Obama, and the neocons don't want to talk about Libya these days, end of quote. So, you know, after all these failures, never any successes, by the way, as the common man would define success, meaning more peace, prosperity, and freedom, NATO painted a target onto Russia. And in 2014, instigated regime change in Ukraine, followed by 8 years of massive military assistance with the intent to fight Russia. Hundreds of billions of dollars have been wasted on NATO expansion and regime change projects. But NATO's current target, which is Russia, is different, folks, because Russia, quote, has nuclear weapons and views this proxy war as vital to its very existence, end of quote. And here's the kicker, Sam. Despite its string of all failures, NATO has decided to start a war with China, quote, perhaps to take attention off its disaster in Ukraine, end quote. What are they doing, you might ask? Well, last week, Dr. Paul writes, quote, NATO announced that it will open its first ever Asia office in Japan. What next? NATO membership for Taiwan? Will Taiwan willingly serve as NATO's newest Ukraine, sacrificing itself to China in the name of blundering NATO's seemingly endless appetite for conflict? End of quote. Sam, I really hope that each one of us listening to this broadcast today will call his members of Congress and politely demand an end to U.S. support of NATO. We must end NATO's deadly world tour if we ever hope to have peace in this world today. Sam?
There's no question about it. What I find fascinating about this is I get how in earlier generations, when a lot of these global governance organizations or NGOs or whatever else cadre of warmongering they've managed to put together, I get in the early days how people could be deceived thinking, hey, you know what, that's right. All we got to do is have a strong, you know, forceful foreign policy, stop the war over there, or, you know, create the war over there because it'll stop the war over here. You know, I get how people could be deceived kind of at first with this. But now we've seen nothing but war and rumors of war for like 50 plus years, never ending. Wars that we're in that are never declared by Congress, that violate the Constitution, that spend us into oblivion with foreign aid, et cetera, et cetera. Every time we engage in these things, it does nothing but eventually accelerate. And all we do is jump from one, quote, politically hot theater to the next, to the next, to the next, pretending that we're fighting the war to keep peace. But it isn't true. And at some point, you got to have the American people wake up and go, look, this strategy is a bad one. The Republicans run on a humble foreign policy when they're running for office. But when they get in office, they go hawkish in a hurry, just like the Democrats. Every one of them seems to have the same foreign policy, which is meddle, 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 get involved. The CIA documented the blowback principle. Ron Paul highlighted that, saying, look, you can't meddle in their affairs without them eventually hating you and eventually attacking you, too. We need to learn history and realize that, look, this is not working, Lowell. We're as close to a world war as we've ever been, whether it be China, whether it be Russia, whether it be the 130-plus nations. We seem to still have a finger in the pie, militarily speaking, now. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. Our foreign aid expenditures are at an all-time high. This idea of peace through war is a lie. And at some point, the American people need to wake up and go, okay, it's not such a great idea to start a war with China. Folks, please call all members of Congress and politely demand not only do we get out of NATO, but we quit funding all these foreign wars, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. I couldn't have said it better. And until we do that and take responsibility for the evil acts of our own regime, then it's not going to change. But you and I, we can be the change we hope to see. We can take action today. We can call Congress. We can insist that they stop supporting NATO, quit funding NATO, get out of NATO, quit funding the United Nations, get out of the UN. There is much that we can do to be the change that we want to see in this world around us, Sam.
And I mentioned at the start of the show, you know, the greater numbers are the key. You know, the power of one to educate is vital. You know what? Ron Paul doing a phenomenal job about that over at Campaign for Liberty. RonPaulInstitute.org. Either website's great to go to. You can have Nathan Hornberger highlighting this reality. There's truth tellers everywhere. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman telling you the truth about this as well, advocating to please call members of Congress. We need to let them know our displeasure. We can be polite and respectful, but we need to be very clear. Look, I don't want you involved in all these foreign wars. I don't want to spend money on these foreign engagements or foreign staged efforts. I don't want to be the world's cop. I don't want to be the world's enemy and experience this blowback. We don't want to do this. And if enough of us were to get involved and enough of us were to call and take action and advocate and speak out, this wouldn't be happening. Tom Woods, of course, our dear friend, well-known, Nullify Now gentleman. He has a podcast, episode 288, in which folks are speaking out clearly, nobly. We back them. We'll talk about it with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. A fiery highway crash involving a passenger van and a freight truck killed over two dozen souls in northern Mexico yesterday. Prosecutors and police in the northern border state of Tamaulipas said the sheer volume of the wreckage and the fire that consumed the van and the freight trailer was a lot. The cab that had been pulling the freight trailer was not found at the scene, suggesting the driver may have uncoupled it and fled. One Democrat senator is not sure an agreement on the debt ceiling will be reached in time.
Senator Chris Murphy says he's skeptical that things will be handled before the presumed June 1st deadline.
If we want to get serious about deficit reduction, then you have to put tax increases for billionaires and corporations on the table.
Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, the Connecticut Democrat explained that Republicans wanting to include the budget in negotiations is the main reason he doesn't expect the issue to be resolved in the next 2 weeks. Murphy put most of the blame on House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. I'm Dave Collins.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is visiting Britain today, seeking hundreds more missiles and attack drones in an effort to help his war effort against invading Russia. The UK government confirms Zelensky's arrival and said he will meet with Prime Minister Rishi Sunak at the Prime Minister's country retreat outside London. It's Zelensky's second trip to the UK since February of 2022, when the war began. China sentenced a 78-year-old United States citizen to life in prison today on spying charges. Details of the charges against John Xingwan Liang, who holds a permanent residency in Hong Kong, have not been publicly released. The sentencing comes as President Biden is traveling to Hiroshima, Japan, for the Group of Seven Major Industrial Nations Summit starting Friday. Today is officially National Chocolate Chip Day. Legend has it that the first chocolate chip cookie was a wonderful accident. USA News.
Psst, hey, Mark, remember, getting help from Progressive is so easy. You can use the mobile app, chat with us online, or call us.
And you pick now to tell me.
I couldn't miss Little Grace's ballet recital. Oh, thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Did I?
Because you know I'm always here for you.
Yeah. I can use the mobile app if I need help. Sorry, you're in my wife's seat, though.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go anyway. Tell Grace she nailed her chasse.
Get the help you need from Progressive with our mobile app, online chat, or over the phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Finding great people to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Their powerful matching technology delivers so many qualified candidates, it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Liberty Roundtable Live. This is Lowell Nelson, a guest today on Sam Bushman's show, Liberty Roundtable. Glad to be here. We were talking about truth tellers just before the break and the need for all of our listeners to be truth tellers. Well, there's a truth teller in Congress. Her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She gave a speech about a year ago, it's about 14 months ago now, and, this is a great speech. Not stellar maybe, but great nonetheless, a great speech. And I did something a little bit different I wanted to talk about her speech because she really makes some great points, and she tells the truth about a lot of things, and I just wanted to tell you what she said, because this probably did not get a lot of play in the media. In fact, I went to try to find her speech, could not find a video copy of her speech, could not find the text of her speech. Maybe she has it on her website somewhere, but I couldn't find it. And it really is a great speech. And so I transcribed her speech last night because I wanted to have a copy of it, and because I couldn't find a copy of it on the internet. I kind of think this is what his Big Brother does. The Big Brother probably scrubs from the internet, insofar as possible, any truth that they can find, right? Anything that is critical of the current regime. They probably try to rewrite. I've even heard of them trying to rewrite books, like the book 1984, and the author you know, calling them out and demanding that they restore the original book. So, you know, I don't doubt that this is happening, folks. So you almost need a paper copy of the good stuff that you see on the Internet in order to preserve it. Anyway, back to the speech, okay? This is a speech by a representative from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's not well-liked by the mainstream media, as you might expect. Both parties distance themselves from her. They don't want to be associated with her. She's kind of like a lightning rod. She falls in the, you know, in that same group of people like Ron Paul and Thomas Massey and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and others that they have a hard time with. And that's how you can tell, you know, if they're a good, if they're doing a good job, right? If they're telling the truth or not, right? If they get criticized by mainstream media, they're probably doing a pretty good job. So this is what she said. This is 14 months ago, March of 2022. She said, quote, "This morning, President Zelensky addressed the United States Congress asking us to defend his country against Vladimir Putin. Turn on the television, no matter which network or television program you tune into, you will hear the same ominous sound in the background, the drumbeat of war. We're told that we have an urgent moral responsibility to send money and munitions to a country 6,000 miles away, a country that just coincidentally Joe Biden has business interests in, as do many other people. When we invaded Iraq on the pretext of looking for weapons of mass destruction, over 4,500 civilians were killed in just the first few days. We became embroiled in nearly 20 years of pointless war. It's time for a more level-headed approach to foreign engagements from America's elites, and time we loosen the military-industrial complex's stranglehold on our politicians and our policy making." End of quote. So, Sam, have you ever heard such a statement from anyone in the D.C. swamp? You know, maybe as I thought about this question yesterday, I thought about, well, maybe Ron Paul years ago, maybe Rand Paul today, Mike Lee, Thomas Massey, and perhaps others. So Marjorie Taylor Greene said here 14 months ago, looking for weapons of mass destruction was a mere pretext for the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Well, she nailed it. That's exactly what it was. It was a reason, gave us a reason to invade Iraq. We simply claim they've got weapons of mass destruction, and then we invade. That's the pretext. And then she talks about this number of civilians killed in the first few days there. 4,500 of them killed in just the very first few days. She talks about 20 years of pointless war, the influence of the military-industrial complex. I mean, all of this is absolutely true, what she's saying here. She then says this, quote, "There is no doubt that Putin's actions in Ukraine are despicable and evil. We weep when we see images of men, women, and children wounded or killed. We regret any human suffering, and we mourn any loss of human life. But we cannot, and we must not, allow our compassion to blind us to reason and common sense, because this won't be like any entanglement America has ever entered into before. A potential war with Russia is not comparable to Iraq or Afghanistan. This is an 8-year smoldering conflict in which peace agreements have been routinely violated by both sides. It concerns a country in which Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Mitt Romney have direct financial interests. A country which government only exists because the Obama State Department helped to overthrow the previous regime." End of quote. So, Sam, she acknowledges the emotions and the feelings we feel, you know, that we have when we see the destruction of families and homes around the world. Absolutely true. But are we helping the situation by throwing money and munitions at the problem? Well, I don't think so. Although she doesn't mention it, it is a fact that the state did not give the general government authority to go in search of monsters to destroy. John Adams said this in very clear terms. Representative Greene names names here, folks. Biden, Pelosi, Romney. Those are the ones. They have financial interests in Ukraine, and others do too, but she named those three. How many people do you know who truly understand this situation? You know, I'm beginning to think that Marjorie Taylor Greene gets it. I think she understands the situation. And she's calling them out, folks. She deserves to have our support. She deserves our respect. She's a truth teller. She continues on. She says, quote, "The ugly truth is that America is in no shape to throw herself into another foreign conflict. Under Joe Biden, America's economy is weak and dependent on foreign nations for goods and even for energy. And the more we involve ourselves in this foreign mess, the more we force our enemies and frenemies together, playing right into China's hands. Every move the Biden administration has made has hurt Americans and helped Putin. Our former allies are looking at us and wondering if we've gone mad. Just this week, Saudi Arabia, whose leaders won't even take a call from Joe Biden, indicated that they may be open to selling petrochemicals to the Chinese in their currency instead of U.S. dollars. It is impossible to overstate the consequences to America if the dollar loses its position as the preeminent international medium of exchange. Two competing global currencies will devastate our economy. We'll have no power to prevent the worldwide famines that will surely follow sanctions that prevent Russia from exporting fertilizer, grains, and energy. If the petrodollar is eliminated as a result of Biden's incompetence, life as we know it in America will be over forever. The dollar will collapse. We'll no longer control the undisputed world currency. Our economy will surely collapse here thereafter under the massive debt administration has so irresponsibly created." End of quote. Now, comments about this. She does name Biden, but it is true that presidents previous to Biden also bear some responsibility. You know, we didn't get here in just a couple of years. We got here in several decades, you know, 5 or 6 decades. So a lot of administrations, both Republican and Democrat, are responsible for putting us in the current situation, right? And, you know, I wish you'd be a little more open about that. But nevertheless, she does a good job talking about the Biden administration and about it's bringing us to the brink of war with Russia, which is exactly what's been happening. She continues on. She says, quote, "When my constituents from Georgia call into my office here in Washington, D.C., there's only one thing on their minds. Hardworking Americans living paycheck to paycheck don't care about foreign wars or foreign borders. They care about gas prices back home. They care about runaway inflation and the fact that a used car or truck costs 40% more today than it did last year. When President Zelensky asked America to enforce a no-fly zone above Ukraine, we should be clear and honest about what that means. He is asking America to shoot down Russian planes. It means war. It means more dead Americans and more billions of dollars spent on another foreign entanglement that the American people do not want and which we cannot afford. It means Vladimir Putin backed into a corner, his finger hovering over the nuclear button. It means World War III. And this is the White House, and what is the White House doing as the war slides dangerously close to devastating world war? Paying off TikTok influencers to lie for them? More concerned with favorable headlines from the Washington Post and the New York Times than avoiding world war? More concerned with social media likes than protecting American jobs and families? End of quote, Sam. This is
ladies and gentlemen, we love truth tellers. We need more of them. We need all of you to stand up, speak out, and be truth tellers with us. Will you please?
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org, and Sam Bushman talking about an incredible Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking out on Tom Wood's incredible podcast, episode 288, if you want to go check that out. But she makes some incredible points. We love truth tellers, ladies and gentlemen. We need more of them. We ask you to join us and speak out and be a truth teller. Please call your member of Congress and say, let's simply get out of NATO. Let's get out of the United Nations. Let's jettison this foreign war hawkish attitude that we've had and have a humble George Washington-esque foreign policy in modern times. Ladies and gentlemen, are we helping out by throwing money and munitions at the problem? The states did not give the general government authority to hunt after monsters to destroy, ladies and gentlemen. Where should our concern be centered? With our own families, neighborhoods, and communities, Lowell.
Exactly right, Sam. We need to be an example to the world, and we need to lead by example instead of trying to force people to live, you know, in a certain way. Obviously, we don't have time to read her whole speech, but I do want to hit a couple more highlights here. She says the Biden's sanctions aren't working. I might say that no sanctions ever work. They're pushing, she says, quote, they're pushing Russia even closer to China. Russia has made a $117.5 billion oil and gas deal with President Xi of China. Intelligent observers know that sanctions almost never work in the real world. They didn't work in Cuba, North Korea, or Iran. They're not working now. End of quote. You know, my comments about that are, she's spot on, Sam. Sanctions don't work. They're a precursor to war. They help to draw the battle lines, right? The military-industrial complex loves them, but they don't work, and they hurt the people in the countries that we're sanctioning anyway, because we're stopping goods from getting to them, just like the sanctions around Yemen, right? We couldn't get goods, medical supplies, and so forth to help the people of Yemen because the battle lines were drawn around that country. So I just love the fact that she named Cuba, North Korea, and Iran as examples of sanctions that did not work, because they don't work. And we need to understand that. We need our Congress critters to understand that, too. You know, she talks about the effect of the emotions. You know, when we see suffering, death on our television screens, yeah, it does affect us emotionally. But you know, Sam is right. We only can have direct influence on our close circle of friends and family, you know, family and friends. That's where our focus ought to be. If we can, yeah, we can help out with bigger projects, but the most important project is your family, you know, protecting your family and helping them, you know, nurturing them up to do the right thing, to be righteous and to serve God, family, and country. I mean, that's what we ought to do. That's where our focus ought to be, you know, and just throwing money and munitions at these complex problems in other countries doesn't do the trick. Just a couple other things she said. She talked about repairing our tattered international reputation. Well, I'm not worried about that, you know. But she did talk about providing a negotiating table for Russia and Ukraine. I think that's good. I think we ought to provide We ought to invite both Ukraine and Russia to the negotiating table to settle this. Now, she said this 14 months ago, Sam, and still the two nations are fighting. Did Biden take her
and
advice?
Still we're no, sending massive not. Money to one side. China's sending massive money to the other side. See, it doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bottom line. Marjorie is speaking truth to power on this. We need you to call your congressmen and senators and say, absolutely not, let's get out of it. But before the end of the hour, we do have a little bit of good news. Right now it's defensive news, and we want to change that defensive to where we the people go on the offensive. We're talking about the 10th Amendment Center. Mike Meharry speaks out on this good news piece, Lowell.
Yes, the implementation of Real ID has been delayed again, this time for two more years, or to May of 2025. I mean, I was in the airport just, two or three months ago, Sam, and they had all these signs saying you need Real ID. I think it was by April or something of this year. And I'm glad to see that that's been pushed off 2 years. It does give us a little bit more time to outlaw the use of Real ID in our state, if we can muster the courage to do so. I would love for Utah to throw away these driver's licenses with a gold star on it, and just take back our privacy. That's what I'd really like to see. Can we muster enough courage in our legislature to do that before May of 2025? Well, I don't know, but I sure hope so. So recounting the history on this Real ID, Michael Meharry at the 10th Amendment Center says that George W. Bush signed the Real ID Act into law in 2005. And those of us who were around then will remember this. And it was supposed to be implemented by May 11 of 2008, right? So they gave it 3 years to get implemented. But he writes, quote, most states simply ignored the law, and many rebelled outright for several reasons, including privacy concerns, along with the fact that Congress did not provide any funding for the mandate that it expects states to implement. A large number of states simply chose not to act. New Hampshire, Missouri, Maine, Oklahoma, Montana, and others took things a step further, passing laws expressly prohibiting compliance with the national ID standards. Kind of makes me want to move to Montana, Sam, frankly speaking, or better yet, to persuade Utah legislature to ban its use here. I'd love to see that. Well, because states refused to go along with the feds began to apply more pressure. So in 2016, they threatened to stop anyone without a Real ID card from passing TSA security checkpoints at airports. And this would effectively ground travelers from states that refused to comply with the congressional statute. But turns out that as of December 2022, right, that's just a few months ago, 5 months ago, only 17% of IDs in Kentucky were Real ID compliant. Yahoo for Kentucky. I love that fact. And I mean, the feds are threatening to shut down the airports of states where they don't comply with Real ID. I know they threatened Texas, and Texas called their bluff and said, okay, you try to shut us down, feds. You just go try. And then the feds backed off, and that's what needs to happen here. Michael Meharry makes this observation, quote, the federal government's struggle to implement Real ID for what will be at least 17 years now, reveals a dirty little secret. The feds can't do much of anything when states refuse to cooperate. This was the blueprint James Madison gave in Federalist Number 46 to resist unwarrantable or even unpopular federal acts. He said, speaking of Madison, Madison said that a refusal to cooperate with officers of the Union would create impediments and obstructions that would stymie federal action. End of quote.
And this is the key, Lowell. This Tom Woods idea, nullify now, which is really a founding father-esque viewpoint. Tom Woods just kind of brought it to our attention modern day. And really, Michael Meharry, 10thAmendmentCenter.com, doubling down on this as well, really highlighting a fundamental truth. We the people need to absolutely understand it and politely demand it. You know what? You got to reject real ID in your state, and it can be done. States are doing it now. We need to go on the offensive here, Lowell.
You're absolutely right. Tom Woods' book, Nullification, is a great book for two reasons. Number one, it discusses this idea in detail and shows it gives the constitutional founding or the foundational, the background that you need to understand that nullification was a concept from the beginning that the founders totally understood. I mean, that's what the when they refused to the Stamp Act. This is probably the most egregious violation of the colonists' rights was the Stamp Act. Well, what did the colonies do? They refused. They ignored it. They refused to pay the tax on the Stamp Act. So this idea of nullification, of ignoring unconstitutional, unwarrantable edicts coming out from some central government, this is in our blood, folks. This is America. And we need to understand. And so the great thing about his book, number one, it helps us understand that nullification is fundamental to our DNA as Americans. That's what this country was founded on. It's just foundational. And then number two, his book, half of his book, the latter half, is simply a reproduction of all the great documents that prove the foundation of nullification. And so we're talking about the documents, the principles of 98 that Madison wrote for Virginia, that Thomas Jefferson wrote for Kentucky. We're talking a number of documents in his book. So if you don't have that book, Nullification by Tom Woods, please get it. Read it. Make sure your legislator, your state legislator, has a copy. Ask him, has he read it? Does he have a copy? Has he read his copy of Nullification? If he doesn't have a copy, offer to give him a copy of the book or demand that he get a copy for himself and read it. Now follow up with him. Ask him, have you read it? Do you understand nullification? Do you understand your power as a state? That's what we need, folks. More of us taking action to stop government overreach. Meharry ends his article with this. He says, quote, "We can't just turn our heads and hope elected officials will do their job. That only happens when we keep the pressure on," end of quote. That's why it takes all of us, Sam, putting the pressure on the politicians. They are predictable. If you put enough pressure on politicians, they will do what you want them to do. Sam?
That is the key to the exercise, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I say we need to kind of go from defensive on this to offensive. We have got to really start to kind of speak out and say, look, this has got to stop. We can't have this happening, right? We've got to make a difference here. And the only way we're going to make a difference is by, and as I started the broadcast out last hour and I highlight this hour, it's our greater numbers that's the key. We have got to stand together and become assertive, become bold. We can be kind and polite and respectful, but we need to be very clear and very insistent. You know what? We don't want this. We don't want your global, your national ID. We don't want a real ID. We don't want you to track us, right? We don't want you to do this at all. And so we've really got to start to speak out kind of boldly, nobly, and make a difference here. And the only way I know to do it is by rallying the people, by education, by us working together, standing together. That's the genius of America. Lowell, thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org, always doing a stellar job on your radio. We're grateful to bring the topics he studies so hard, researches so hard to bring to our attention. Critical, clear guidance for solutions on your radio, always when Lowell's on the radio. Thanks again to all of you for listening. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Please spread the word, share the love. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.